All right, good to see everybody today. Made it back one piece, yes. A little bit older, but appreciate all the prayers as we were on our trip. And Marvin and Joyce went with us and had a good time, and Joyce made it all right as well. So very thankful. Kay made it better than I thought she would. Yesterday she was wiped out every time we got back. But we appreciate all the prayers, and we were able to go see some things we hadn't been able to see before. And of course she got to do some shopping, which she needed to do and liked to do. And Marvin and I just followed them around. But I think that's what you do most of the time. And but it's good to be here today. I haven't decided yet what I'm going to do to start a new series. Lisa. What was Steve Cochran? Steve Cochran family? Okay. Maureen Walter's brother. Okay. Steve Cochran. That's all right. Kay says I can't see, hear, or smell, so it doesn't bother me at all when somebody can't hear. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus, thanking you for being an almighty, everlasting God, never changing. From ages past to ages future, you're always the same. We thank you for your love and grace that saves us and keeps us. We thank you for the blessings of life you give us each day. We pray for the Cochran family, lost a loved one. Lord, that you might comfort, bless, and watch over them. We pray for Willie Wells, that you might continue to heal him from his heart surgery. Heal Bubba from his surgery. Henry Brown, Tony Swinford. Someone I've left out is Carol Bramer, who had surgery as well. Pray you'll continue to heal her. Lord, be with those of our church family that have cancer. I pray you would clean their bodies completely of every cancer cell and bless them with healing and grace. We pray, Lord, that you would bless our Bible study this morning. Guide us and lead us that we might look into your word, that we might see ourselves as we really are, and we might see you as you really are, because that's more important than about anything in the world, that we understand what a gracious, holy, almighty God that you truly are, and how we are in need of grace and mercy and forgiveness. So bless as we study your word together today. For we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus, and through his shed blood we pray. Amen. We're going to begin in the third chapter of Romans. And we're going to, actually this morning and tonight, I'm going to carry on with the same theme. And we're going to be looking at the third chapter of Romans. We're going to be looking at the Matthew chapter 5. We're going to be looking at Psalms 51. And through all of this, we got back from Branson Friday evening, and yesterday I spent trying to catch up and then trying to figure out what I was going to teach this morning and tonight. I was going through, I call it computer room, but it's a study. And I've got all my books, sermons, and everything in my computer in there and everything else. And I was going through I've got hundreds of sermons, if not 200 or 300, 500, I don't know how many that I've preached over the years. But I found a sermon in there by Spurgeon. And I started reading that sermon. by Spurgeon, and it made me aware of how often I forget, maybe on purpose, how often that I forget my sinfulness and how often I forget my unworthiness before a holy, righteous, and almighty God. And one thing that he was talking about that I really want to bring out this morning and tonight, especially for folks that are watching online, I want you to understand that, and I'm going to give you a little illustration. I'm stealing it from Spurgeon, by the way. But he was talking about a man that was a naturalist. And he said that he had books and books and books, and he studied about birds all the time. And he knew everything about birds, but he had never seen the birds, only on books, only in pictures. So he had a head knowledge of the birds and the fowl and everything else, but he had never experienced them for himself. And then we carry that illustration over, and let's talk about sin. Let's talk about sin. In Psalms 51, it says, "The Lord is not pleased with burnt offerings or sacrifice, but with a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart." You see, there's people that think they know about Christianity. There are people that think they know who a Christian is and these different things, and they've read the books, and they've even looked at our lives. But they will never know what a Christian really is until they become one. They will never understand the gravity and the awesome reality of sin until the Holy Spirit of God convicts them of their sin and brings the power of God into the light in their life. And they realize they really, for the first time and only time in their life, they see themselves for who they really are. Because until you see yourself as you really are, you can't be saved. Jesus said, "Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." That doesn't mean, "You know, God, I messed up sometimes. I'm so sorry." That's not repentance. When Scripture talks about a broken spirit and a broken heart and a contrite heart. I know when I was saved, I'd been in church all my life. Before I could walk, I guess they carried me to church. And I'd been in church all my life. And I knew what the Bible said. And if someone had asked me, "Are you a sinner?" I would have said yes, because I was, and I knew that. I knew that. But I had never come to the point that I was broken over my sin. I'd never come to the point that my spirit was broken. But when God convicted me of the sin in my life, and that the whole reason that Christ went to the cross was because of the sin in my life, something totally different happened. There was fear. There was sorrow. There was a need. There was fear because of judgment. There was sorrow because I saw myself for who I really was. And there was a need for forgiveness like I'd never had in all my life. And that's what God does. That's what God does. God brings us to the point that He reveals to us who we really are, and He reveals to us how awful we really are. You know, we live in a world where everybody says, well, you're so good, you're so wonderful, you just need to get in tune with your inner self. And don't ever think negative thoughts. But you're just a wonderful person, and you're just going to be a blessing to the world. And many churches preach this same thing. Oh, we'll come in here, we love you, we want to say nothing negative about you, we won't say anything negative about anything, we just want you to feel good. Well, I got news for you. You'll never feel good until you feel bad. You'll never be able to rejoice. And when you rejoice, you're not going to reach something totally different. Something totally different in this world than what a Christian is. Because when you really feel good, it won't be because you know you are good. It'll be because you are bad, and it'll be because you realize the goodness of God. When you realize the awfulness of yourself and the goodness of God, something absolutely miraculous and marvelous has taken place. God Almighty has reached down out of heaven and touched your heart. God Almighty has reached down out of heaven and He's touched your soul and your spirit. And now for the first time in your life, you see yourself as an awful mess that needs to be fixed. And you see yourself for who you really are. I was witnessing to a man. He had called me on the phone. I'll not mention his name. But he said, can you meet me at church? And I said, sure. So I met him at church in this room that we fixed up back here where we took the wall out. And we sat there together. And I said, why are you here? That's a very important question. Why are you here? Do you want me to tell you everything will be all right? You want me to tell you, oh, don't worry about it? You want me to tell you, oh, it's okay? No, it's not okay. You're not going to be all right. And things are not what they should be. And this is what he said to me. I said, why are you here? He said, because I do not like myself as I am. Because I do not like myself as I am. And I said, then you're here for the right reason. Then you're here for the right reason. As long as you think you're good enough, you'll always be bad. And the scripture so comes together, and it tells us about who we really are, and it tells us about this great, majestic, awesome God and who He really is. And it tells us about why He sent His own Son into the world to die and to bleed and to suffer and to be punished. That your sin is so awful that being beaten half to death is not enough. That my sin is so awful that being scourged and spit upon and having his beard pulled out was not enough. That my sin is so awful that He had to watch His own Son be nailed to a cross, hung between heaven and hell, spit on, beat half to death, till He looked like a butchered piece of meat nailed to a tree and hang there till He died. That's how awful my sin is. And whether you want to admit it or not, that's how awful your sin is. And until a person gets to that point that they see themselves for who they really are and they see Christ for who He really is, nothing is ever going to change. And that's what is so broken and so wrong with our world today. We live in a world where everybody wants to tell everybody else it's okay. Our world is so screwed up that we have people that tell our kids, if you're a boy and you want to be a girl, that's okay. If you're a girl and you want to be a boy, that's okay. If a man wants to marry another man, that's all right. If a woman wants to marry another woman, well, that's just good. Our world is so foul and so dark and so screwed up today, they haven't got a clue to the truth. And until you know the truth about who you are, and until you know the truth about who Almighty God is, nothing will ever change. Nothing will ever change. And let me say this. I ain't even got scripture yet. I guess I'm preaching, but I didn't aim to. Until you get to the point that you realize that you are absolutely hopelessly lost and you can't do anything to change it, nothing is going to change. Nothing is going to change. The scripture says in Romans chapter 3, verse 9, what shall we conclude then? Are we any better? Not at all. We've already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin. What does it mean to be all under sin? It means all are already condemned. Not that they will be condemned. They are all already condemned. Condemnation. They're just waiting for the sentence to be carried out. As it is written, there's no one righteous. No one. Not even one. Not even one person is righteous. What does that mean? No one is right standing with God on their own. There is no one righteous. Not only is there no one righteous, there's no one who even understands. And this is the thing about it that we have to come to. We have to understand that we would have never understood if God had not broke into our life and showed us our sin and showed us His grace and showed us His Son and showed us His mercy. Nothing would have ever changed in our life. We'd have gone all the way through life never understanding and split hell wide open. And I hear all the time people say, well, I don't understand how God could let someone go to hell. And I'm saying I can't understand how God could even save someone. Because we all deserve that judgment and that punishment. The Bible says not only do we not understand, we didn't even seek God. You say, well, I go to church. Heck, I went to church all my life. I went to church all my life. I was about 30 years old. Went to church all my life. But I wasn't there to seek God. I was there because I was supposed to be. I was there because I didn't want to disappoint some people. I was there because it was my job. A lot of people go to church for all the wrong reasons. And you continue to go to church for all the wrong reasons until God breaks into your life and shows you what a wretch you really are. People don't like to be told that. If you don't like to be told you're a wretch, it's because you've never come to grips with reality. You're looking at a wretch. You're looking at a sinful person. that is not worthy to be saved, not worthy of God's grace, not worthy of God's Son. He says, no one seeks God. He says, all, A-double-L, all have turned away and have together become worthless. Boy, this is a lot different message than the world gives us, isn't it? Now, I believe in encouragement. It may not sound like it. I believe in encouragement. I believe in telling our children they have all the potential in the world. I believe in telling our children they can aspire to be whatever they want to be. But then I believe in telling our children that they're born into sin and they'll never have the life that God meant for them to have without Jesus Christ, without the forgiveness of sin. I learned at a young age what discipline was. You know, if there is no discipline, there is no help. There is no help. We live in a world that says, believe anything you want to believe, live any way you want to live, and if it feels good, do it. That's just the opposite of what God says. That's just the opposite of what God says. There's no one who turns good. We don't like that word worthless, do we? When's the last time your wife told you were worthless? I think Kay's told me that before. It's the truth. Just ask, think about this for a minute. What are you worth outside of Christ? Nothing. Nothing. What are you worth in Christ? Everything. Everything. You see, the only thing that makes a difference in a person's life, going from worthless to having worth, is who they're living for. Who lives in their heart? Who lives in their life? There's no one who does good, not even one. Throats are open graves, their tongues practice deceit. Poison of vipers is on their lips. When's the last time you told a lie? Did you tell somebody you felt good and you didn't? Did you tell somebody everything's all right and it wasn't? Did you tell someone, don't worry about it, and you are? Did you tell somebody you was talking to on the phone, I need to go, and you didn't? Did you tell God you would do something and you haven't? You see, whether you realize it or not, we almost lie every day. Except for the grace of God, you're just deceitful. And we're deceitful because we really like ourselves. We may not want to admit it, but we do. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways. You say, I don't believe that's true. Well, I'll just tell you this. While I'm standing here today, there's no telling how many people have killed other people. And how many more are thinking about it? swift to shed blood. And let me say this, innocent blood, in the womb blood, before they're born even, blood. You say, well, that's not popular to say things like that. I never claimed to be popular. The thing about it, you know why most people don't like the Word and don't like the Bible? Because it tells them truth. It just flat tells you the truth. I'm just a worthless wretch that deserved to go to hell and spend eternity there for thousands upon thousands upon thousands of years. And I've been saved by the grace of a marvelous, almighty, everlasting God that chose to save me, not because I deserved it, not because I earned it, not because I was good, but because I was bad, because I couldn't earn it, because I couldn't do anything for myself. He chose to save me just simply because He chose to love me and give me His Son, Jesus Christ. The way of peace. The way of peace they do not know. The way of peace they do not know. Did you know what God saved you for? To be a peacemaker. I teased my granddaughter. Hey, T. She goes to these meetings. These terrible, awful meetings named Homemakers. So I tease her all the time. I say, honey, you going to that homewrecker meeting? It's a good thing. It is a good thing. And I'm glad she's in it. A lot of wonderful people there. But the way of peace our world does not know. And you know it never will till the Prince of Peace comes back. That's just simply the truth. It never will till the Prince of Peace comes back. And this is the big one. There is no fear of God in their eyes. What does it say in Romans chapter 1? They imagine ways to be evil. They imagine ways to be evil. Just think of how the world has changed in the last, I'm older than dirt, 79 years. Just think of how, think about the last 70 years. Last 70 years. 70 years ago, I was in elementary school. If I had come home from elementary school and told my dad that my teacher told me, if I felt like I wanted to be a cat, I was, he would have found that teacher and done brain surgery on them. Because he would have said, I never heard of anything so stupid and ridiculous in all my life. Or if they had told me, oh, you have the genitals of a boy and you think you're a boy, but if you want to, you can be a girl. Same thing. That's how crooked and deceptive and wicked and evil our world is in which we... Let me say this too. I love teachers. I love school teachers. I think they do a wonderful job. 99.9% of them are really wonderful people. But I'll tell you, our government has got into our schools and mandated that they teach things they don't even believe in. And that's the God's honest truth. My great-nephew, Justin Rutzel, doesn't work for Kohl's anymore. Yes, he does. He was the manager of Kohl's department store in Paducah. And the main reason he left Kohl's department store because they demanded that he put out transgender clothing. And so he said, no. So that's the world we live in today. That's the world we live in today. Tonight I want to get into Psalms 51. Let me go ahead and read the rest of this because believe me, it does end up good. Okay? There's zero fear of God in their eyes, verse 18. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced. Why? And the whole world held accountable to God. You see, that's the thing. That's why pride sends more people to hell than anything else. They don't want to be accountable. They don't want to be accountable for who they are. They want to be accountable for what they are. They want to be accountable for what they do. And so the only way they cannot be accountable is to deny the existence of an almighty, holy, and righteous God that would bring them to judgment. Verse 20, therefore no one will be declared righteous, justified, King James says, same thing. Therefore no one will be declared righteous in his sight by obeying the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. And that's how you became conscious of your sin, by the word of God. But now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has now been made known to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. Amen. So I'm a wretch. I'm a sinner. I'm unworthy. I'm unrighteous. I'm unholy. And I'm a child of God, and I'm saved by His grace, and I'm going to heaven, and I'm going to live with Him for hundreds of thousands of years just because of the goodness of God and His mercy and grace. Not because I deserved it or I could earn it or anything else. That's why I come to church. Just think about it. Well, I'll get into this tonight, but just think about this. We're closing because the final bell rang. This is the only place where people come together to talk about, to praise God because they realize how awful they are. Just think about that for a minute. Because you can't praise God and you can't lift your hands to heaven and you can't say that you love the Lord Jesus Christ until you have come to the point and realized in your life how awful you truly are. But when you realize that, you can come into this place, you can raise your hands high, and you can say, praise the Lord Jesus Christ. He is an almighty God from everlasting to everlasting. He is the Yahweh. He is the El Shaddai. He's my soon coming King. And I will praise His name forever because He did for me what I could not do for myself and saved me in my sin and lifted me out of the grave of blackness and changed my life. Am I a child of God? Yes, I am. Amen. throughout the ages of the ages of the ages, just because of the goodness of God. Let's pray together. Father, bless these people. Bless me, Lord, with your word, with the truth of your word, that we might truly realize how great is God's grace and mercy and forgiveness that would take a worm and a wretch like me and adopt me into his family. And I've been born into his family. And I've received his life and his spirit and his son. And now my life is different than it ever was before. And as David said, my sin is ever before me, but your forgiveness and your blood is also ever before me. So I can stand here today and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In Jesus' name we pray.